Anyhow, I'm a co-convener, okay, for the symposium on orchard systems, genetics, cultivars, and rootstocks. I have flyers in the back. I hope to see some of you there, because I hate to have an audience of no Americans or no whatever.
Okay. Our next speaker is going to Craig Rehart.
That's close enough. Okay. All right. Well, Tom gave you a good introduction of what went on. I will show you some modeling, some things we looked at, and I think there's some things we can do, and I can explain maybe a few things that Tom saw. Okay, you know, we are aware of the models. The Weinberger, who originally was in Fort Valley, many years ago, simple model that growers can use below 45. Modified, where we're only looking between 32 and 45 degrees Fahrenheit. The UTO model, or units, the problem with it is the negation isn't appropriate for the southeast, so we don't use it. And what I've been using has been the dynamic model, which came out of Erez, out of Israel, and it's using chill portions. And it's a similar concept, but it's less severe negation in hot climates. It weights the chill according to the duration of the warm-cold cycles. It's a two-cycle thing, not one simple thing, and I think that's been proven molecularly. That's what happens. And that's the preferred method in regions with warm winter temperatures. And at the end of my talk, you'll see I think we can predict what's going to happen using this model. Once again, going back over Weinberger hours, or just all the hours below 45 Fahrenheit, Utah uses a negation factor, but once again, it doesn't factor in the high quality chilling and some other things that chill hours do. So, chill portions is what I'm looking to look at and talk about. This is from Dr. Oki, another one of Tom's colleagues at Byron. We know the bud distribution of chilling is not even on a tree, so only 20% of the buds are going to be what we call, in this case, a 650. But then we have 40% below, 40% more. And we can use that to our advantage if we have a low chill winter to at least come up with a commercial crop. And I'm going to show you that we were able to do that for a few varieties. Once again, a 650 and a 750, if we got 700 hours, we got most of the hours for a 650, but few for the 750. And the thing I want people, or at least growers, to consider is it's not an absolute minimum number. I mean, chilling requirement is an average, and it does vary a lot in a tree. And for peach, you don't need a lot of flowers to make it to have a decent crop. So you can have a profitable crop. There's a number of websites. This one I've been using is getchill.net. It's under the Wonderkind weather system online. It has many weather stations that are tied into it. I picked four, one in Fort Valley, which is near Tom and near Byron. That represents the major peach area in Georgia. And then we used Edgefield, which is the major peach area in South Carolina. They're both similar to, they're both on the fall line, so to speak. So they both have sort of similar to environmental conditions. Then Gaffney's in the Piedmont, the upper Piedmont, where we have an industry. And then we do have an industry down in the coastal plain, that's Santee. So I picked the four areas where most of the peach production is. And I got weather stations that have data. Some of these weather stations are missing data. These four weather stations have complete data. If we look at way back 14-15 winter, we had over 1,000 hours at all locations, even here, the yellow down here in the coastal plain. We don't grow anything over 10-50, mostly not much over 9-50. I just want to show you, in a normal, quote, normal year, Tom showed we had those type of years. Not this past one, but the previous one, we were quite concerned because we were in this area. We were around 9:30. This is using chill hours now. I'm going to show you chill portions a little bit. But we were in an area where we do grow a lot of varieties that are 850, so there was some concern, and we actually had a little bit of problems with both in the Ridge area, which is the Edgefield area, and also Fort Valley. Some varieties were a little higher chilling, had problems, and any that were extremely high chilling, like a Contender, which is 1050, it just didn't really crop. So we were really concerned. We did have a little bit of a problem, but we got through it, more or less. But this past winter, we really were hurting. I mean, obviously the hours, you know, less than 500 in the coastal plain, where Tom is at, around 583 at Fort Valley. We are a little bit colder in South Carolina, but then the Piedmont, we're marginal. I mean, it was still good, but we grow a lot of high-tail varieties. So if we compare the square boxes with the circles, you can see from the year where we were marginal to last winter, which we were below marginal, you can see that we are way below what we were on a year that we were having problems. And, of course, this past winter we had lots of problems. And so once again, we were below. So did we know we were going to get there? I mean, what can we do about when we get a situation like that? Chill portions, the reason I'm showing chill portions is I think chill portions are an easier way to be more consistent on knowing whether you're going to be short for chilling. I've looked at the data for the past few winters where we were short chilling, and I'll show you what my recommendations are later, but I think it's worked pretty well based on previous years. If I go back here, where's the arrows? Well, there we go. Okay, you can see we have numbers even on the coastal plain, 49 up to around 76 for the upper. That's plenty of chill portions for peach. The winter that was sort of marginal, we started getting, we were getting a little bit short, especially for we have high chillers, and we were marginal down here on the coastal plain. But we still were able to crop, except for some varieties like Tom mentioned shouldn't be probably grown in these areas because they're a little bit high chilling. But we looked at this past winter, we're definitely, 20 is not enough, 30 is not enough. This is Fort Valley, and this is the coastal plain. This was our main area in South Carolina, and then this is up in the upper Piedmont. If we look at the previous year, which was just barely got through, we were about the same for the higher chilling area, but we definitely were lower in Edgefield, and we did have problems, but Fort Valley had a much more severe problem with meeting chilling, and you can see they were way below the previous year, which was marginal to begin with. And the coastal plain was just a disaster. I mean, 20 was just not much at all set. So we normally talk, at least I tell growers, normally by February 15th we know what's going to happen. We really quit getting quality chill after that date. Based on what cropping I could get from various growers and looking at their weather stations, I think we need 650 hours, or for 650-hour cultivar, we need 30 to 35 chill portions to have enough flowers to produce a viable crop. 750, we go up about 5 units, chill portion units per 50 hours, and that has held up pretty well. Based on the more recent data, but we need to do more work on that. But right now I'm working off of that. So if I know that, I can make predictions. If we look back at this previous winter, you see where we were short. On February 8th, I did this for the growers, and we looked in 27. They were thinking by March 1st, because that's where February 28th, we'd be up here. And also they were hoping to be a little bit more than this, because they knew this wasn't enough. But if we look at what actually happened, this is in Peach County, which is Fort Valley area. On February 9th, here's where we're at, and they were hoping it would go this way. It stayed flat, and they really had, I don't know, Tom, how many people have tried Dormix, but when you get to that point, you have to have alternate recommendations or you're going to have a total disaster. Furthermore, I mean, on the 9th, I couldn't go back for that location, but on the 9th of last year, I did look at for a similar county across the border there, and it showed, because there are weather data where you can pick the, if it's a La Nina year or an El Nino year, they have different forecasts. And this was last year was a La Nina year, and based on La Nina year's history, this was the forecast on February 9th, what would be March 1st. And it shows that it was not going to reach the previous year, which was marginal. And in fact, it was even a little bit lower than what this projected. So this gave me an idea at this time that we weren't going to get any more chill. Something needed to be done as soon as possible. You could probably go back all the way to probably February 1st and use the model. The model's pretty good in the months in advance. And this was, it gives you a month, a two-month, and a three-month projection. What Tom showed, this was August Lady. It's about 8:50. You can see a few leaves coming out. Really bloomed very late, so what Tom and him showed, there wouldn't be any crop, but I told the grower not to mess with it because it depends a lot on temperature after bloom, and I'll show you some data and what happened actually happened. Some of these trees, you can see a few flowers coming out, a lot of abortion, a lot of bud drop, but you still have some flowers there, You do get breaks at the base here, but that's a very severe case. But what happens on some of these varieties is if it's not too warm during the bloom period, and I know this went into April, some of these flowers will survive, and you'll get fruit at the base here. I mean, you'll have a bud abortion up here, and you'll have less vegetative buds. But I've looked at these trees. They've grown out. They actually look pretty healthy. And I just try to keep the growers from getting in there pruning anything until we saw what we had. And we actually got crops on this variety and some others, and I'll show you. A crop that could be sprayed, and actually more than I thought they would have. Because remember, one thing that confounded this particular year was we had a bad freeze in, the 17th, Tom, or 19th, March?
Night of the
15th. And what happened was the lower-tilled stuff had a lot of flowers come out, and that took it out. This was the 850s and higher still did not have enough chilling. They still had flowers that were not advanced enough, so that cold did not take them out. So the key was, are they going to die from just the lack of chilling, or will some of them come through? For young trees, is the contender row right here. Like Tom said, they died. Nothing came out on them, and they weren't sprayed either. So you can have really devastating results. But on the older trees, they will usually pull through unless it's really severe. All right, so we get to Greg, you in the audience? Oh, he is. Okay. Okay. We have been talking about the endodormancy part of not getting enough chilling unit accumulation. Remember, we do have a wide range on trees, and we only need, 2 to 4% set, 5% set on a peach tree to have a marketable crop. What is it, 2? About 2. Once again, I just reemphasize, we have all types of buds on here with different chilling requirements. They're not all exactly what we label them as. So what did we on the 6th, when I saw this was happening this past year, we went and cut a lot of buds. Autumn Plains, 200 chill hours, so it's 600 chill hours, so it's very early blooming. By that stage, we were starting to see color, not only in the terminals, but even in the mid-shoot buds. I don't think we have any basal buds, but when you start seeing color, then most of the chilling's been met, and you can't use Dormix at this stage. You will totally thin off the tree. We looked at Ruby Prince, which is a little bit higher chill, but it also was moving pretty well, and the basal buds still had not had enough chilling. I mean, they were still white or translucent, but once again, at this stage, also we would not spray Ruby Prince, okay? And both Ruby Prince and Autumn Prince did bloom out, and they got killed by the frost. So these buds showed that they did manage to get enough. Even though we didn't have 800 chill hours, there was enough of the buds on there that probably were maybe 600 or 650, and they were moving around early February. Contender is a 1050. That's their highest chill one. No movement in the lower anywhere in the canopy, both the upper canopy and the lower canopy. They were very tight. I mean, if you were going to spray, you could probably spray at that time, or you could spray later. If you sprayed when Tom sprayed, if there were any live buds, they would have been killed. But obviously, you said you didn't see any anyhow. So, okay, well, I won't get into dormancy too much, but we did. The grower did mess with this, and you can either use Cyanamid or Bud Pro. Tom used 2%, which is a 1% AI, because it's 49 or 50%. It's labeled. Auburn did a lot of work on it. Auburn used this rate. We don't use one. Well, I'll show you what we use. Bud state should be the white anthers, no yellow, window. Press his loom period when it works. And if you incorrect timing, it takes care of it. Just quickly show where, red globes in 850. We looked at that. When we are translucent but no color, it's the time to spray. We looked at Flame Prince, which was an 850 also, but we had color, so we didn't spray it. And what's interesting is we did crop Flame Prince, and I'll talk about that. Okay, probably our main grower that was willing to do things during this week, after I showed him the data, he decided he was going to do Dormix, and he used 0.5% is 1% of the product, okay. And these are ones that weren't not showing much, and so he sprayed them. I asked him and his farm manager, did they see a difference? And they really didn't see a difference. And I can understand possibly why, because we don't know when to spray it. I think that's one of the problems. We think we do. But the red highlighted cultivars, July Prince, Contender, Summer Lady, and August Lady. When I looked at them in March, I just told them, don't touch the trees. Just let them see what happens. In April, when Tom, you showed, we were in the same boat. They were just barely coming out. But he sent me his crop records and his production records, and he actually got a third, up to 40% of a crop on those four. The difference of these four and these others was these others bloomed earlier. They, even though they're 850s, they have less heat requirements, so they had more active flowers. They were killed in that March freeze. These were still tight, and so they still had viable flowers, not all of them, obviously. But by, well, I'll talk about why they, I think why they cropped. But so we didn't touch them, and they missed the freeze because they bloomed late, and they ended up cropping. And just add on the two I mentioned, they were way active on February 6th when I made cut the buds, so they got frozen out. But Flame Prince, because it showed they were active, we didn't touch it. And because Flame Prince is developed out of Byron, it's adapted to our climate. It still had enough buds that, for whatever reason, got through the freeze and was active, and it had a fairly 36% of a crop is a good crop when everyone had zero. So we get to ecodormancy. Okay, we get through the winter. We don't have enough cold. We do know that marginally chilled buds are very susceptible to high bloom temperatures. And Dick Oakey noticed that for many years at Byron, where Tom and them work. So I pulled up some information. This was a nice study showing that they had trees that were at flowers on a tree. They weren't in pots. They were kept at 30, 25, 20C, 15C, and then they had the same variety in the orchard where it was exposed. Let me stop right there. Okay. And essentially, if you notice, if at 30 degrees and 25 degrees C, there was no fruit set. And at 20, it was reduced. The control, which had varying temperatures out in the field, had as much as ones that were kept at 15C. They also looked at, they dissected a lot of fruitlets, and these dots are individual fruitlets that were how far the pollen tube went. And you notice nothing set at 30 degrees, 25 degrees, and even 20 degrees. Only at 15 degrees in control, the flower, these marginally chilled flowers were able to set. So what happened in our case? It just shows you degrees. Nope. In our case, I went and looked at the weather data, and the mean maximum temperature during that period of March was only 20.3 degrees Celsius. And the mean daily temperature, because we did have some cool nights, was 55.1. So the pre- and post-bloom temperatures are very favorable for flower viability and fertilization. So I think the ones that were still alive had a much better chance of setting. And all these I was talking about are 850 chill hours, which were much, you know, we got much less than that. But they were able to set a partial fruit crop, and the grower actually sprayed it. So buds will require more heat to initiate bud break, but for extended bloom period. But if it's hot, they're not going to set well. If we're going to get into the mid-70s or 25 degrees C, we probably won't have any flower buds. And where Tom's at, it's probably warmer than we're at. Quickly, what you can do, we talked about Dormex. Prune as late as possible because the inadequately chilled trees are sluggish. Don't try to get them going. When you prune them, auxins become released or become upregulated, and the tree tries to push and the flowers just abort. So don't touch the trees. Lower fruiting quid, the short shoots often have lower chilling buds, so I always tell the growers leave more of those on because they don't need as much chilling. Once again, high chilling varieties do not prune because until you see some vegetative bud break. They aborted, you can do the chemical options. You can always add bees, that's your spray program. Of course, don't thin until you know if you're actually going to have a crop. So, thank you, and you had to see our eclipse. It was great. Flower buds on short shoots often, especially if they're on the interior, they usually flower first, and that's usually, it's not your best wood, we usually cut it off, but those flowers have lower chilling requirements. That's what we feel. At least when we cut them, they do. Yes?
If you have a sudden freeze during the winter, does it affect the chili dollars of all the varieties?
We don't think so, because
We don't even know if it's below zero C whether you get any effect or not. I mean, if the flowers are already activated some and we get minus 5, minus 10 C, yeah, we can have winter keel. But in our climate, we rarely have winter keel of flower buds. And the colder it gets doesn't mean you get more chill out of it. The quality hours are probably at between 0 and 7 C, probably. And we may get something down to minus 2 C for chill.
Do you ever get any premature bud rate in your area?
Yes, if we have low chilling type varieties that are 650, we have some that are 400 growing, and that we get enough chilling and it gets warm, but then the growers don't have to plant those. But yes, that's possible.
Okay, did they see a reduction in tree size on farms with the variety of insects? I noticed some of our selections, we got a pretty good fruit set, but the bleak shoots were really delaying coming out, and we had to staff the fruit size.
Well, that was with their pack out. Normally, he might have packed out smaller fruit. No, I didn't break out the pack out. That is a percent of what they produced in each orchard. And so, that fruit size could be affected, obviously. But the price this year, you can sell golf balls.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.